of Galair Thofáil Siaroth. Welcome to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron, and we're also broadcasting on Rogers 97.3. If you're catching this or want to catch this on the internet, you can go to chinradio.com or you can go to fidelity.ca, and that fidelity is spelt with a Y. That's fidelity.ca. Now, my site is not the one with the money. Mine is the one that doesn't have any money. In addition to that, if you want to send an email, the email address here is gaelic@fidelity.ca. That's G-A-E-L-I-C at fidelity.ca. This program is also put up on the website on Monday or Tuesday of each week, and it overwrites the previous week. So we leave the programs up for about a week, both the Saturday and the Sunday show. So you can catch it later in the week if you can't, if you get in the habit of missing it on Saturdays and you want to keep up with what's going on. Go on the website during the week and you can listen as a stream. And we also try to put some interesting interviews, what might be the more interesting interviews that we have, put those up as podcasts. And there are at the moment, I think, I have 6 podcasts up there going back over a number of weeks. In addition to that, if you like the music that you hear on the program and you're anxious to figure out which CD it comes from, etc., you can do that by going on the website and hitting the playlist button. And that will bring you into a list, and I think I have about 3 months up there at this stage. I've taken down prior to about 3 months back. We also have a calendar on the website. And if you go in there, you'll see some of the events that are going on in the city. Like, for example, earlier on this morning, there was a GAA game on that was being broadcast live down at the Irish Village, and that was Dublin versus Westmeath. And Dublin were the winners of that game. So they will be moving forward to the next round. Down at the Irish Village tonight at Mother McGinty's, the town pants are down there, and Barry Williams is at the Hart and Crown. And I was down at the Hart and Crown last night, and I must say, town pants, certainly a wonderful performance and tremendous sound, likewise with Barry Williams. And if you want some more GAA, you can go down there tomorrow morning. The Mayo versus Laois game kicks off at around 9 o'clock, and then Kilkenny and Clare at 11. So it's a good place to go down and have your breakfast and meet some others and enjoy yourself. The Tara players are starting to get back into full swing, and they will be holding auditions on Tuesday and Wednesday night at 7:30, and that's at the Arts Court on Daly Street, and that's for their production of Waiting for Godot. So if you have any ambitions to get on stage with the Tara players, head on down to the Arts Court. The Ottawa Gaels are also back on the field this weekend. They had a weekend off last weekend, and the girls are currently on the field, and the guys will be kicking off probably in about an hour. But Noel McGinnity, are you out there?
I am indeed, Austin. How are you?
I'm good. Can we get a real up-to-the-minute report on what's going on out there? That's a great... I love the way I can get live reports.
The game is only about 5 minutes through, and Ottawa are one goal to no score up at the minute. So it's going to be a tough game. There's nothing between the two teams here at all, and it's a pretty good game actually. And looking forward to an Ottawa victory, but it's going to be tough.
So who's in town this weekend?
Durham are playing the girls, and then the guys are later on. We're playing Montreal. It's the first round of the championship, so it's knockout competition, and only the winners survive now from here on in for the rest of the year.
So in other words, what you're telling me is my weekly report on the Ottawa Gaels could be coming to a...
No, we're only peaking now, you see.
You keep telling me.
Yeah. Well, last two games undefeated, so we're looking for a 3 in a row now today.
Good stuff, good.
The girls haven't been beaten all year yet anyway.
They're
going well.
Yeah, the girls have been doing very well indeed.
Yeah.
What do you get any spectators coming out to you at all out there now?
We have a good crowd here today and a nice day and all, like, so we're getting bigger crowds.
Good.
We could do with some more.
Right, I'm sure. And anything we can do to spread the word and encourage people to go out. Where exactly, if someone's going out, it's the old road into Uplands, is it?
Yes, it's out beside the airport. So it's Canadair, it's just off Canadair, which is where the Tim Hortons and the Days Inn is, off Hunt Club.
Yep.
So if you go right to there, and there's take the turn there right at the Tim Hortons and Days Inn, and just go up there and you'll see the field from there.
Good. And tomorrow down at the Hart and Crown, Mayo and Laois are playing, and Kilkenny and Clare in the hurling.
Yes.
What are your have you any preferences on the teams tomorrow?
Well, I think Mayo are always going to be strong. They're always strong until they get to the final, and Kilkenny in the hurling are you can't really look away from them. You know, that between them and Cork, they've contested or won all the finals in the last 5 years, so it's going to be very hard to look away from anybody other than them two teams.
Okay. If at all possible, can I track you down around this time tomorrow?
I'd say you could, yes.
And we'll try and track you down, and maybe we get you can tell us how the guys did.
And you'll have
another good news story for me.
I hope so. Say a wee prayer for us there, Austin, will you?
I'll say a novena.
Good enough.
Okay, Noah. You take care.
Right.
Thanks, Noah.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
I have traveled many lands, and I still don't understand how sad you have become on my return. Your old town is filled with care, sad and old they left you there. Your once bright eyes with sorrow softly burn. I can even sense the change in the sound of children's games, and dreams of youth's ambitions have all turned to doubts and fears. It's an age of words I'm told, but I've never felt so as I recall old Dublin in my tears. All the faces that I meet as I roam each one-way street reflect the empty statements of the times. And the old cathedral bell can't be heard above the swell, but ears raised a message in her chimes. All my childhood friends are gone, like the streets where we were born, and the time that it has taken, it doesn't seem so many years. They have paid the deals to gloom, we accept Kelly of the crew, just the ghosts of dear old Dublin in my tears. There were times when jobs were few, there were hungry days we knew, some days so bad their memory I've cursed. And the prayer I said to God, here I'm for the Princess Maud, that our children was restored, the pride we lost. But to pass the old forsake, master dancing at your wake, while the heart of Dublin's dying, but nobody really cares. And the troops, as they pass by, laugh to see an old man cry. But I can't forget old Dublin in my tears. Gather round, great men and true, though our numbers may be few, we'll drink one toast before I cross the foam. Burn soon in London's dark domain, I recall how I became no more stranger there at home. Now the liquid flows along, and I listen for the song, so the voice of young James Larkin seems to echo in my ears. But it's just around the requiem I sing. Farewell to dear old Dublin in my tears. Farewell to dear old Dublin in my tears.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Shin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton. On Friday the 28th of July, the Justice Minister in Ireland announced two new appointments to the Garda Inspectorate. The Minister for Justice, Equality and Law Reform, Mr. Michael McDowell, has announced that the government approved two further appointments to the three-member Garda Síochána Inspectorate. They are Mr. Robert Olson and Ms. Gwen Boniface. Ms. Kathleen O'Toole, former police commissioner of the City of Boston, was appointed as chief inspector on the 17th of May 2006. The two new inspectors will take up their appointment on the 4th of September. And as I said, they are Robert Olson, and he's the former chief of police from the City of Minneapolis, and Gwen Boniface, who is currently serving as the commissioner for the OPP. And we are going to listen to an interview with Commissioner Boniface a little later on the show. But before that, I want to try and give you some background as regards how this move came around and how something as radical as bringing three North Americans into Ireland to head up the Garda Síochána, some of the background to it. And what I'm going to share with you are some snippets that I pulled from news casts going back over the last period, and some Dáil statements that were, and debate that was going on in the Dáil. And I'll share with you first, it's a piece of background that will highlight some of the issues that exist for the Garda in Ireland.
The Minister for Justice has told the Dáil that when he was Attorney General, the Garda authorities refused to give him a full copy of a crucial internal report into events in Donegal until 2 years after its completion. During a special session on the Morris Tribunal reports, Michael McDowell rejected allegations that he had blocked the establishment of the inquiry.
Flanked by his predecessor, whose record he praised as impeccable, and by his departmental director general, Michael McDowell mounted a robust defence of his own handling of events. He rejected suggestions he'd sought to block the establishment of the Morris Tribunal, disclosing that when he'd been Attorney General, the Garda authorities had denied him and Justice Minister John O'Donoghue access to a crucial internal report. But that didn't satisfy one deputy who'd done much to highlight the scandal.
The Minister says that in fact Minister O'Donoghue didn't get the Cartier report in July 2000, and that he didn't either. But then he told me untruths.
Brendan Howland said John O'Donoghue had indicated to the Dáil that he had the report when, by his successor's account, he hadn't. Other opposition speakers focused on the role of the current Garda Commissioner and on the tight timescale for the upcoming Garda Bill.
That two-week time frame is, in my view, a recipe for disaster.
Commissioner Noel Conroy must resign. The reputation of the force has been tarnished, and it happened on his watch.
While PD backbencher Liz O'Donnell said she suspected there was something sinister about the withholding of the Carty report.
The minister later said that while he wouldn't use the word sinister, the Garda behaviour at the time was totally unacceptable. He's to table a major amendment to his bill to ensure that the force is accountable to the government of the day. The stage is now set for a fiery debate next week when the opposition is sure to revisit some of today's revelations.
And even before that, anger from the McBrearty family who'd watched today's proceedings.
This is only starting, and we'll get the truth, because he told nothing but lie after lie after lie in that house today.
Well, there's more fallout from the Morris Tribunal this weekend with the news that five members of the Donegal Gardaí are to be moved out of the county to duties in Dublin, whilst further disciplinary action is contemplated. And earlier in the week, two senior Gardaí, singled out for criticism by Mr Justice Frederick Morris, are to retire. Meanwhile, the Minister for Justice has indicated the McBrearty family and those implicated in that scandal are to receive an apology. Well, we've been speaking to Karen McGlinchey, whose sister Adrienne, you may remember, figured large in the first module of the Morris Tribunal. Is she annoyed that Michael McDowell hasn't been in touch with them?
That's correct. We've had absolutely nothing. The first report, which was involving my sister Adrienne in the explosives module, was published in July of 2004. There's been no offer of an apology, no admission of guilt, no accountability, no responsibility taken by the state. Absolutely nothing. No contact with any member of our family by anybody from either the Department of Justice, any member of An Dáil Éireann, or any member of An Seanad Éireann. And there has been a state-sponsored smear campaign against Adrian, against her character, against our family, and this has been perpetrated by Gardaí here in Donegal in furtherance of their own self-interests.
What do you make of the fact that you haven't heard from the minister? Did you really expect to hear from him?
Well, I think when the minister has come out this week and talked about issuing apologies to other people who have been vindicated by the second Morris report, I think what happened with the first report was that politicians did what politicians do. They ran for cover because politicians do not want to be seen to be anti-Gard. They don't want to be taking a stand against it. We have them coming in now into the Dáil on Thursday for the first time to debate the Morris reports. But the first Morris report came out in July 2004. There has been very, very little comment about it. And I think it was incumbent upon the Minister for Justice at the time that it came out to make some sort of offer to the family, to make some sort of offer of an apology for what the state has done to our family, for what the state has done to my sister. She was manipulated, she was abused, she was used, she was directed. These are the words that Mr. Justice Morris uses in his first report in relation to my sister. And this is what they said that they did to further their own careers. And this was covered up by An Garda Síochána Síochána, it was covered up in Crime and Security, and it appears to be covered up in the Department of Justice, because we have had a report published in 2004, but we have not seen the second report, the secret report, the report that was held in private session. And former ministers, former commissioners have given evidence in private session, and the current commissioner has given evidence in private session, and Assistant Commissioner Joe Egan gave evidence in private session, and we haven't seen any of that.
Just to move on slightly to the news yesterday that five Gardaí have been transferred now out of the Donegal region to Dublin, and that there's the possibility of further disciplinary action against them. What do you make of that?
Well, my first response would be, what have the people of Dublin done to deserve this? What have they done to deserve corrupt, negligent people who have lied, people who have been withholding information from the tribunal? What have they done to deserve that in Mountjoy Square in the special branch up in Dublin? First of all. Number two, three of the officers, of the five officers that have been transferred, were criticised and roundly condemned in the first report. Why has it taken almost a year to take any action against these officers? The only reason that these officers are now being moved against is because I have been consistently calling for their dismissal. Action had to be taken against them. No action has been taken. No suspension. Of course they're entitled to justice and fair procedure, but no action has been taken against them since July 2004, and there are still Gardaí serving here in Donegal and elsewhere who have been condemned in the first report, and nothing has been done.
Now, I know you've called for the resignation of the Garda Commissioner, and that doesn't seem likely. The McBrearty's, for their part, have indicated that perhaps he should be called before a special Dáil and Seanad committee. Would you agree with that? Do you think that's a good move?
I'm not sure whether committees within the Dáil or the Senate are going to be any good, because not one of them have fully read the report. They don't understand the report. No one from the Dáil or the Senate, except for those witnesses who were called former ministers of justice, has ever bothered to appear at the Morris Tribunal during the first sitting of Exposes Module.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Shin 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron, and that was an interview from RTE News relating to some of the scandals with the Gardaí in Ireland. And this is to give you some background on the appointment of Ontario Provincial Police Commissioner Gwen Boniface to a three-person commission. The chair of that commissioner will be Ms. Kathleen O'Toole, the former police commissioner from the city of Boston, and the third member, the June 2 assistant inspectors, is Bob Olson, chief of police from the city of Minneapolis. I'm going to play another short track to you, for you, that will just help fill out some of the background on that.
A significant break from the culture of deceit and silence in the Garda Shia Corner. That's how a barrister at the Morris Tribunal today described the admission by a Garda that two women had been verbally and physically mistreated while in custody.
Detective Garda John Dooley said it happened while the women were in custody during the investigation into the death of Raffle cattle dealer Richie Barron. The Donegal Garda made the admission in a statement to the corruption inquiry on the 14th of October last. But details were only made public today.
The seventh module of the Morris Tribunal opened in dramatic fashion in Dublin today with serious allegations that Gardaí mistreated people they had arrested for questioning about the death of Richie Barron in October 1996. It transpired he was killed in a hit and run, but Roisin McConnell and her sister Katrina Brawley were arrested as accessories to murder. During questioning, the tribunal heard the women were shown graphic post-mortem pictures of Richie Barron. The lights in the room were switched on and off to sustain the pressure on them. Mrs. McConnell was made stand, then her chair was thrown across the room in anger. These details emerged in a statement made last October by one of the Gardaí who was at the station, Detective Garda John Dooley. He also said that his colleague, Detective Sergeant John White, told Mrs. McConnell he would have no sympathy for her if she was stabbed on the streets of Raphoe and told her to pray to her dead father. Detective Garda Dooley also said private meetings involving suspects were secretly taped by Garda in Donegal and that Detective Sergeant White told him the visitor's room in Letterkenny Station was bugged. Detective Dooley also said that another Garda, Joan Gallagher, pulled Mrs. Brawley's hair and called her a lying bitch. Both Garda Gallagher and Detective Sergeant White deny the allegations of mistreatment, but Senior Counsel Paul McDermott, who made the opening statement here today, said that Garda Dooley's statement, if true, marked a significant break from the culture of deceit and silence in the Garda Shia Corner. And the tribunal also heard today that four separate handwriting experts have said that a disputed signature on an alleged confession to murder matched that of Frank McBrearty Jr.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM, and we are giving you some background on the reason why and the possible reason why the Irish government and the Minister for Justice, Equality and Law Reform, Mr. Michael McDowell, went outside of Ireland to establish a commission to lead the Garda Shia Corner. It transpires that there have been endemic problems within the Garda for a number of years within some regions of the country, and it looked very much like, and it would appear as if the Irish government resolved that the best way to deal with this would have been, has been, to step outside its traditional promotional ranks and seek a worldwide application for to fill the positions to head up the Garda. We're going to take a short break, and we will be back with you and continue the story shortly.
7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Chin Radio is the nation's capital's only multicultural voice. Broadcasting in over 20 different languages. Streaming online at www.chinradio.com. You are listening to Ottawa's definitive multicultural station. Chin.
The Little Irish Village, with the heart and crown, is the ideal place to find a good pint in a warm atmosphere. A snug pub, cosy, well-appointed alehouse with an inviting fireplace, and intimate coves for small groups. Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh the Black Rose complete the Irish Village. Sit down the patio, enjoy the buzz of the market. If it's a planned party or a casual visit, the Irish Village is the ideal spot. Music, food and drink in a welcoming atmosphere. It can only be the Irish Village.
Youth Challenge International is looking for adventurous and motivated youth aged 18 to 30 to join a team to travel to remote parts of Grenada. Volunteer in rural communities for 6 weeks to assist local people with powerful projects related to life skills, disaster recovery, and community empowerment. Teams leave in September. Scholarships are available. Apply now. Visit www.yci.org to learn more.
Tune into the Gaelic Garrett, Chin 97.9 FM.
to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 with Austin Camerton. And this program is brought to you in part by the generous sponsorship of the Irish Village. We are going to return to the story of the appointment of Gwen Boniface to the three-person commission for the Gardaí Síochána.
And the job of the Garda Inspectorate is to examine all operational and structural manpower aspects of the Garda and make recommendations to the Minister as to how things can be improved, identify strengths and weaknesses, and look for recommend areas of improvement. Now, we met the full team today. We've already met Kathleen O'Toole, and today we met her two deputies. Gwen Boniface is the Chief of Police in Ontario and Canada, and we're told that she's carried out an awful lot of work successfully with the Aboriginal community in Canada. And Bob Olson is 60 years of age. He's from he's a former police chief of Minneapolis. He also worked in Corpus Christi in Texas. And we also heard that he spent the last year working in Jamaica, where they have 1,600 murders a year. Now, these two individuals were chosen from 67 candidates who were whittled down to 10 who were shortlisted for interview. And these two senior police officers, along with Kate O'Toole, now make up the Garda Inspectorate.
Do they make any comments today about some of the recent difficulties that the Gardaí have faced?
Well, they were, I mean, at one stage, Gavin, it was like looking at four politicians, because you had Michael McDougall and the inspectorate there. They were well able to talk, and they were also well able to talk a lot and say very little, which is what they did today. They were very non-committal. We heard a lot of that they were delighted to be here, and they were looking forward to the challenge. And indeed, Bob Olson said he was brought in a bit of the blarney. He said he was really looking forward to living in Ireland. But you would know that behind all these honeyed words, these people are very, very experienced police officers, and they come with a North American agenda. It'll be interesting to see how, for example, they deal with the Gardaí in the sense that they have all worked with armed police forces, and the Gardaí is largely an unarmed force, and that indeed is one of its strengths. And when I asked both of them that, how they would deal with that, they just simply said that they admired the fact that the Gardaí were unarmed, but they weren't prepared to make any comment in relation to whether they agreed with that strategy or whether they were going to make recommendations that the Gardaí would be more armed. Really, we got a lot of honeyed words today, but when you look at their brief, and their brief is very, very wide-ranging and very, very all-encompassing, they're going to look at, for example, the crime reduction and public safety strategies employed by the Gardaí. They're going to look at the allocation of resources, and that includes how members of the Gardaí are deployed, where they're put, how many are put in particular areas, how civilian personnel are used, and how the Gardaí use the resources they have and the technology systems, for example, the pulse system that they have. So their remit is very wide-ranging. Michael McDougall says he wants an interim report by them, from them by next January, and he wants the full report by May in 2007, and that should make very interesting reading.
The newly appointed chief of the Garda Síochána Inspectorate has said that her top priority will be resourcing the Gardaí. The appointment of former Boston policewoman Kathleen O'Toole was approved by the cabinet today, and she starts work on the 1st of July. She has said she has insisted she will be fair but direct.
The new chief inspector of the new Garda Inspectorate said she doesn't expect her job to prove contentious, and she was true to her word on the day her appointment was formally announced, with a round of photo calls and a series of diplomatic responses at her first press conference. The Garda Síochána was, she said, a proud force, currently going through a difficult period. Resources were, she said, her top priority, but she would also be examining management systems, technology, and training.
I think it's essential to fix the current situation to ensure that resources are being used appropriately now before adding additional resources. So I'm sure that that will be a top priority. In other policing organizations, we've looked at training, management systems, technology.
Kathleen O'Toole's job is to look at the Garda as an organization and make sure it's operating as effectively and efficiently as possible. She will also be examining the force's investigative processes and practices, specifically in relation to organized crime, which she has already had experience of in Boston.
Kathleen O'Toole also said today that she will be fair but direct. She says she'll call it as she sees it, and she insists that as a former police officer, her heart will be with the Gardaí on the beat. She starts work on the 1st of July, and it will become apparent very quickly whether or not that feeling is mutual.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM here in Ottawa, and I have the honour of talking to Commissioner Gwen Boniface of the Ontario Provincial Police. And Commissioner Boniface was recently appointed by the Minister for Justice in Ireland, Michael McDougall, to a three-person commission or a three-person team that are going to look at the Gardaí, their operations, their practices, with the intent of bringing the Gardaí into the current millennium. Commissioner Boniface, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to join you.
Now, did I give a reasonable introduction insofar as why you're being brought to Ireland to drag the Gardaí from the last century or the last millennium to the current one?
I'm hoping that we'll be able to certainly help them in the changes that they feel are necessary.
How did you, or what was it that attracted you to this opportunity?
It attracted me to the opportunity. Certainly the fact that it's a brand new inspectorate. I was also have been very interested in doing something international. I sit on the board of directors for the International Association of Chiefs of Police, and I've done, as commissioner of the OPP, we've done some connection with other countries in terms of development in Argentina as well as in Lithuania. So I've always had a fascinating interest with doing something when my career finished on the international level. This timing was perfect, and the opportunity to work with the National Police Service was it was just perfect.
You mentioned, and rightly so, like it is a national police service, and unlike here in Canada where we have the RCMP and the OPP, and then here in Ottawa, the Ottawa Police, and we have multi-jurisdictional police forces, Ireland has just the one police force. Does that, for you, represent going to represent a completely different mindset in how you have to approach things?
I think it represents a different way of doing business. But, you know, in Canada here, we have gone through the last number of years using a number of joint force operations. And so often we'll find ourselves working in a large group of officers, and we may have, as many as 18 departments working together. What I think will be interesting with the National Police Service, given that they would do what we would see in Canada as the local policing as well as the highly specialized policing, I think it's going to be a different perspective. And I'm really very interested on how that changes, how they approach their challenges, and, of course, how that works inside the organization on a balance between specialization and frontline officers.
What I think should be very interesting, I emigrated in 1988, mm-hmm. and back at that time, the multicultural issue that is now very apparent in Ireland was not there, and I'm sure that's something that will have to be looked at and addressed from a policing point of view.
No, absolutely, and as you know, here in Canada, we've been dealing with the multicultural recruiting requirements and for some time, and the struggle around that. So it'll be an interesting point in time to see where the country is at in terms of immigration and how you in turn incorporate that into the police service.
Right. The other difference, major difference between a North American police force and certainly an Irish police force is that the uniformed police in Ireland are unarmed. And think very differently. And I think the criminal tends to think differently to some degree in a lot of cases, that when the cop comes along and says, I've got you, they nearly kind of say, you won. That will also involve a certain different mindset, I think.
I agree with you. And it's interesting, when we did the press conference in Dublin on the announcement of the inspectorate, that was one of the questions we got, given that we're, a team of North Americans. And I think one of the important things will be to understand the values that underpin that, and the nuances of policing in Ireland versus somewhere else. And I'm quite open to that, and I think I have to have a very strong appreciation for what those values are.
Well, it's like I was mentioning to Jeff on the other side of the glass before we started talking. In Ireland, it's yellow lines are on the side of the road, rather, not down the middle of the road. And I don't know if you had the opportunity to have those explained to you.
No.
Well, what it means is, if there's a single yellow line, it says you can't park there at all. And if there's a double yellow line, it means you can't park there at all.
I think I'm going to enjoy Ireland.
I think you will too. From that aspect of it, have you, you have somebody, you're not traveling alone to Ireland, are you?
No, I'm taking my husband with me.
Okay, and how is he looking forward to that?
Well, we're looking forward to it very much. I mean, our plan as we were contemplating retirement was always to have some opportunity to live overseas, and I have family that lives in the UK. So we, when this opportunity came along, it was just a perfect fit. And most importantly, he's a golfer.
Oh, well, yeah.
So he's going to do well.
Right. And he is retired or going into retirement.
He's retired.
He is going to do well. And from that perspective, then, you're not confronted with having to buy a house over there, are you?
No, I think we'll be in the rental market. That's what we're just trying to finalize now.
Yeah, because you'd need to win the 649 if you were.
Yeah, I was surprised how the cost of living has obviously changed. And but you know, Dublin's a beautiful city.
When you were in Dublin, did you, in a way, notice the difference between, like I've always seen a European city is very different than North American in that there's such a bustle of people permanently around Dublin.
Yes.
And you come over here, even downtown Toronto, the pavements are relatively uninhabited.
Yes.
And it's just, you have that the whole time. That will take some getting used to, I think.
Yeah, but it feels alive.
Oh, very much
yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah. And we were, you know, I'm a great walker, so, and Dublin's a wonderful city to walk in for what I could find my way anyways. And I think it'll be wonderful. Our offices are on St. Stephen's Green.
Okay.
And so I certainly got to see some of the, you know, the very nice areas. And the weather was spectacular when I was there. So they were all teasing me not to expect that every day I'm there.
Yeah, apparently this year has been somewhat unusual in how hot it has been.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seeing as you're on a 3-year term, I would expect that you will be anxiously trying to cover as much ground during the 3 years to see as much of the country as you can.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned the hill walk. There's a lot of hill walking now that you can do. So are you into hill walking or do you...
We are going to, we're bringing our bicycles and we're going to try to do as much as we can. Our goal is to see every nook and cranny. I'm a rural kid by heart.
Okay.
So we would really like to be able to spend our time seeing the country over the 3 years and getting out, doing some hiking and some cycling.
Right. Commissioner Boniface, I have taken enough of your time this afternoon, and I do appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I know on behalf of the Irish community here in Canada, we can only wish you the best in your term in Ireland and hope that you really enjoy it and have a very, very positive experience over there.
I thank you very much. I am so excited, looking forward to it.
And before you do go, I would ask, is there any particular piece of music or any artist that you might like me to play for you?
I'm a fan of John McDermott, so if you have something like that, it would be great.
We will find John McDermott, particularly with the Irish tenors.
Perfect.
Commissioner Boniface, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Till the last rolls on summer, me alone. All her lovely companions are faded and gone. No flower of her kindred, no rosebud is nigh to reflect by her blushes or give sigh for sigh. I'll not leave thee, my lone one, to pine on
understand. Since the lovely lies sleeping, go sleep now with them. Thus kindly I scatter thy leaves o'er the bed, and thy maids all the garden lie scentless and dead, and thy maids all the garden lie scentless and dead.
That piece of music was taken from John McDermott's CD, excuse me, A Time to Remember. And I hope you found that those interviews quite interesting. I certainly did, and I will be sharing another interview with you that I had with when I was in Philadelphia Airport on Wednesday evening on my way home. I sat down beside Kevin Roach, or Kieran Roach, and Kieran is from Trim. But before we listen to Kieran's interview, I want to mention that the Irish Village Golf, their classic is on at the Meadows at 1 o'clock on Wednesday. It's a shotgun start, so if you want to play, you can go on out to the Meadows or contact the Irish Village and get yourself in there. If you're on your own or if you're part of a foursomes or whatever, there's room to go out and play. And next Saturday here on the show, we will have Hugo Hamilton live in the studio. Hugo will be over from Dublin to do some readings at the German Residence at 290 Coltrane Road. And I'm certainly looking forward to that interview. And down at the Heart and Crown, the Irish Village, in the coming week, on Wednesday, the Paddingtons are in the Heart and Crown. And Erica Eggleston and Jua's in the Mother McGinty's on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening. And Heart and Crown on Thursday has Greg Close with Intoxacoustics in the Heart and Crown on Friday and Saturday. Don't forget, every Tuesday night up at Annie's Irish Pub, there's the Coastal Session. And that starts at about 8:30.
I'm in Philadelphia Airport, and I'm talking to Kieran Roach, and Kieran is from Trim. And Kieran is returning to Ireland after a short trip over to North America on business. And I decided I'd ask Kieran about his impressions of the formation of the Garda Commission made up of three North Americans. Kieran, first of all, the background to why you think it might have happened, and secondly, your comments as regards the benefits and its value to the Garda Síochána.
Well, recently there's been a few commissions, inquiries looking into the police force in Ireland, and they kind of dirtied up a little bit, it seemed, to the public. And to give a better impression for the Gardaí, it's better for an outsider to come in, overview it, see where they can improve their services for the public, and from there we can go forward. One of the things I noticed that was commented was that it was also to try and streamline the operations, that it was trying to get the Garda Síochána up to what would be the technology that North American police forces are operating under. Well, police forces in Ireland are quite good as things go. They're very, very good. But they do need the backup, and the backup coming from having the right gear. Now, whether that's going to come forward from the government or not with this new commission, I don't know. I hope it will. They need better vehicles. They need a better use of modern IT technology, like Garda stations having their own email address. Simple things like that. The superintendents having their email address and website and everything working from there. And with that, things can improve. So is there much at the moment then? Is there much IT in so far? Can someone go on? Because I have not tried to go on to any websites for what would be any Garda station, be it Pier Street or even in Trim or anywhere else. Do they have websites at all? Not that I know. Like, I know one guard, he says, I don't even have an email address. Now, he's retired. He doesn't even have an email address. And he needed, if an insurance company needed to contact him about something or other, they hadn't even got an email address, they could forward information from one another. Simple things like that. Improving technology can improve the use of the force. Simple things like that. Rather than fellas having to use postage to back and forward information.
So I would take it then that the police cars in Ireland do not have laptops or do not have computers in them.
What's that? not that I know of.
Right.
Not that I know of. Like, they have introduced a thing called the Pulse, which is putting information into the system, and all police forces would have, within the country, the different sections would have contact. It's not working properly.
Okay, so in a way, this is a radical departure, and I know it's a radical departure in every respect to bring outsiders in to run the Garda Síochána. How do you think the Irish people generally, or those that would be adequately aware of what's going on, how do you think the response would be and the reaction to this move is?
I honestly couldn't say, but Irish people in recent years, an awful lot of people from abroad have been coming into Ireland to work, and they've been quite open about it and been quite welcoming about it, so I don't see any problems, can't see any problems at all.
On a separate issue, like the price of houses continues to rise. And while Trim is within a short distance, and I should mention, by the way, slightly outside Ottawa, which we're broadcasting from, there is a village called Navan. And the way into Navan is along the Trim Road. Yeah, I'm serious. But given that Trim is a bit outside of Dublin, have the prices of houses and cost of living in the likes of Navan and Trim risen to the same extent that they have in Dublin, percentage-wise, and are they now dormitory communities?
Well, if I can get a clear run of the road from my house to Dublin, I can do it in 35 minutes. So we are within the commuter belt. Now, as prices rising, yes, it has hit Trim. Recently, I was trying to buy a house myself, and I was someone beat me by 40,000, and I was next in line. So I couldn't match that. And that's simple as that. And that's only 2-3 months ago. So I can't match that. Yeah, it's hit Trim big. And I feel sorry for the first-time buyers trying to get on the ladder, the property ladder. Very, very difficult. Extremely difficult. And they're buying they're getting mortgages 30, 40 years. And they're costing them more. And when they're pensioning out, they're finishing off their mortgage.
But I noticed last week interest rates went up by something like 0.25%. Mm. And the papers were saying that would mean, I can't recall, but it was something like 29 euro increase on the repayment on a 30-year mortgage, if it was something as little as 150,000 euros, and then it incrementally went up from there. And just as some of the figures were horrifying when it went up, as what the size of mortgages that people have. The other thing then is me, as a football team, I haven't heard them mentioned recently.
No, I wouldn't worry about me. No, it's just swings and roundabouts. Everyone has their turn or rest. My team would be loud, actually, rather more so than me. But anyway, they're a different story.
And the game that's on Sunday, well, you'll be sitting down to watch it.
I think it's on Sunday. I've been away. I watched last week's match. those are Kerry and
Kerry and Cork are brilliant.
Made it through.
Oh, that was great. That was brilliant. It was brilliant football. It was the best of football.
And Cork made it through and bought football and hurling by 1 point at the end of the game.
Oh, Cork are always there every year. There's always some team there when they're great.
A bit like, remind me of Offaly. Offaly are always quite the better end. Even they're not there this year, but Offaly are great as well that way. You can't put them down.
And would you say, how is football in Meath generally at the moment? Because
there was a while there where it was really, really strong.
Still strong.
It's right. Quite strong, yeah. You see now, you go down to the local football scene on a Friday evening and you could have five or six, even if not more, five or six games going on at the one time, and they'd be all under 12.
Right.
So you'd have that going. And then in Navan over the road, you'd have the same thing going. That's very strong. Like, Trim is more of a hurling town than a football town, but it's very, very strong. Yeah. Very strong. I think it's even getting stronger, the football.
And what about employment in that area? How are things generally in that part of County Meath?
Well, recently that part of County Meath got an awful kick in that with NEC beside us in Beliver, and they pulled out of Ireland. Not that they weren't making a profit, the profit wasn't big enough, so they pulled out, and it was a big blow to the area. But an awful lot of the employment would be outside the Trim area. It would be commuter employment to Dublin and the greater Dublin area.
So the service sector in Trim then, from a shopping point of view, has that come on as a result of an increase of wealth or population?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Like, I know some people who own businesses and they don't feel it in that the commuters to Trim they'd be coming home in the evening from Dublin, they'd drop into Blanchardstown or the Dublin shops and they'd shop there and come on home. I don't think it's really affected Trim that much. It'll take a couple of years for the hit Trim when the children start coming on and coming down to school. That's what I'm starting to hit Trim.
Are you seeing much immigration in that area? Because I understand, like, I know when I was home a few years ago and I was in Clifton, there was a girl from Belarus was serving us in the restaurant. Is there much multiculturalism in your area?
Oh, yeah, it's big. Yeah, there's a lot. We have people from Lithuania, Latvia, Poland, the Ukraine. Yeah, there's an awful lot of us. My own wife now, who's managing a business in Navan, she has one of her members of staff is from the Ukraine. And you see, her own brother has another person from Lithuania and someone else from Poland, so they're all over the place, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
In some ways it's great because it gives us a different perspective of different cultures.
The richness.
Yeah, it's great, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Thanks a million. I hope you've enjoyed your trip to North America and here to while we're ourselves at the border at the moment, but I hope you had a wonderful trip here to North America.
That was nice, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a million.
No problem.
You've been listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron, and I do hope that you enjoy the programme. You can catch it on the web at fidelity.ca. You can email me, gaelic@fidelity.ca. I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 o'clock with a music-filled programme. Do come back and join me, and we'll also have an update on the GAA results from across the other side. Have a wonderful Saturday, and slánga fáil.
Greater Ottawa and Gatineau's multicultural radio voice is Chin Radio, CJLL. Chin.